Humans Need Not Apply, A Guide to Wealth and Work in the Age of Artificial Intelligence, author Jerry Kaplan. Why is this happening? Modern policymakers are wringing their hands over the root causes of persistent unemployment and economic inequality. But certainly one underappreciated driver is accelerating technological progress. Advances in information technology are already gutting industries and jobs at a furious clip, far faster than the labor markets can possibly adapt. And there's much worse to come. Unless you understand what's really happening, you can't appreciate what's likely to happen in the future. And we're here to explain. Capable artificial intelligences. Recent advances in robotics, perception, and machine learning, propelled by accelerating improvements in computer technology, are enabling a new generation of systems that rival or exceed human capabilities. The work in artificial intelligence is advancing on two fronts: synthetic intellects and forged laborers. New systems of the first class learn from experience. But unlike humans, who are limited in the scope and scale of experiences they can absorb, these systems can scrutinize mountains of instructive examples at binding speeds. They're capable of comprehending not only the visual, auditory, and written information familiar to us, but also the more exotic forms of data that stream through computers and networks. As we amass data from an expanding array of sensors that monitor aspects of the physical world, air quality, traffic flow, ocean wave and heights, air quality, traffic flow, ocean wave heights, as well as our own electronic footprints, such as ticket sales, online searches, blog posts, and credit card transactions, these systems glean patterns and grasp insights inaccessible to the human mind. Forged laborers, the second class of new systems, arise from the marriage of sensors and actuators. They can see, hear, feel, and interact with their surroundings. When they're bundled together, you can recognize these systems as robots. Putting them into a single physical package is not essential. To date, automation has mostly meant special-purpose machines relegated to performing repetitive, single tasks on factory floors, where the environment is designed around them. In contrast, these new systems will be out and about. They may be working in concert with human workers to lay pipes, harvest crops, and build houses. Or they may be deployed independently in dangerous or inaccessible places to fight fires, inspect bridges, mine the seabed, and fight wars. Robots that pickpocket. Decades ago, computer scientist Dave Shaw developed a new design for computers that could speed up processing by breaking down linear, sequential computations into smaller tasks that could be performed simultaneously by multiple processors, then combined into a unified answer. His design earned him an enviable spot at Morgan Stanley, a leading investment banking firm both then and now that needed Shaw's technology for a new secretive business initiative to use computers to buy and sell stocks. As everyone knows, the way to make money in the stock market is to buy low and sell high, though not necessarily in that order. The first order of business in HFT was to find places where what was supposed to be a single price for some stock or commodity wasn't. Data in this form is called unnormalized. You experience unnormalized data every day when you shop around for the lowest price in principle. If information flowed freely, there would be only one price for the same item everywhere you looked, hopefully the best one possible. Now, the simplest form of HFT is to notice when the same security can be bought or sold on one exchange at a different price than another exchange. When prices momentarily diverge, an HFT program can simultaneously purchase at the lower price while selling at the higher price, pocketing the spread without taking any risk. These slight perturbations don't matter to human traders because they can't react quickly enough to take advantage of the transient fluctuations, but computers can. So an HFT program can pick off a fraction of a cent in less than a blink of an eye, before prices inevitably normalize. In fact, the very act of buying and selling causes the prices to converge. Do this 100,000 times a second, across worldwide markets. You're talking about serious money. A simple step to reduce the financial impact of HFT programs would be to charge a tiny amount for requests for information, that is, bid and ask price requests. A second approach would be to delay all trades for 1 second, whether human or electronic. This increases the individual transaction risk just a smidge, because you can't be sure that transactions already queued ahead of you won't slightly change the price at which yours is executed. A short artificial delay might also slow or stop the incredible arms race currently underway to reduce transaction latency. This would go a long way toward eliminating the worst abuses by cutting the tail off the HFT program. A chaos of pace. Global warming in and of itself is a problem. After all, life on Earth has survived numerous cycles of cooling and heating. The real problem with global warming is how quickly it happens. If there is enough time for living things, including us, to adapt, rapid changes in climate, not to mention more volatile weather patterns, can sow havoc. The consequences of catastrophic climate change can reverberate for centuries as species suffer horrific losses of their habitat, leading to mass extinctions. The impact of technological change on our labor markets works the same way. As long as change is gradual, the markets can respond. Too fast and it's chaos. The likely accelerating effect of recent advances in artificial intelligence on technological change is going to roll our labor markets into two fundamental ways. The first is the simple truth that most automation replaces workers, so it eliminates jobs. That means fewer places for people to work. This threat is easy to see and measure. Employers roll in a robot and walk a worker to the door. But sometimes change is less visible. Each new workstation may eliminate the need for one-fifth of a salesperson, or free Skype calls may allow you to work more productively at home one day a week, deferring the need for the new hire until the next quarter. If this happens slowly, the resulting improvements in productivity and reduced cost eventually create wealth, stimulating job growth that compensates for the losses. The growth may be directly in the newly improved enterprise, as lower prices and better quality increase sales, creating a need to hire more workers. Or it may be in distant parts of the economy, where the customers who no longer need to pay as much for the same product or service decide to spend the money they saved. But the second threat is much more subtle and difficult to predict. Many technological advances change the rules of the game by permitting businesses to reorganize and re-engineer the way they operate. These organizational and process improvements often make obsolete not only jobs, but skills. A teller may get laid off when a bank installs ATMs. The improved service creates a need to hire network engineers, but not tellers. Even if the bank ultimately expands its total workforce, the tellers remain out of luck. Weavers can eventually learn to operate looms, gardeners to service lawnmowers, and doctors to use computers to select the right antibiotics once they accept that synthetic intellects are superior to their own professional judgment. But learning the new skills doesn't happen overnight, and sometimes the redundant workers simply aren't capable of adapting. That will have to wait for a new generation of workers. Types of unemployment. When most people think about automation, they usually have in mind only the simple replacement of labor or improving workers' speed or productivity, not the more extensive disruption caused by process re-engineering. That's why some jobs that you might least expect to succumb to automation may nonetheless disappear. For instance, studies often cite jobs that require good people skills or powers of persuasion as examples of ones unlikely to be automated in foreseeable future. But this isn't necessarily the case. Imagine a clothing store where you're photographed in several different outfits, and the images are immediately and anonymously, by obscuring your face, posted to a special website where visitors can offer their opinion as to which one makes you look slimmer. Within seconds, you get objective, statistically reliable feedback from impartial strangers who earn points if you complete a purchase. Why put your faith in a salesperson motivated by commission when you can find out for sure? Reflecting these two different effects of automation on labor, replacing workers and rendering skills obsolete, economists have two different names for the resulting unemployment. The first is cyclical, meaning that people are cycling in and out of jobs. In bad times, the pool of people who are between jobs may grow, leading to higher unemployment. But historically, as soon as the economy picks up, the idled workers find new jobs. Fewer people are unemployed, and for shorter periods of time. The other type of unemployment is called structural, which means that some group of unemployed simply can't find suitable employment at all. They can send out resumes all day long, but no one wants to hire them because their skills are a poor match for the available jobs. With automation, the pace of invention and the rate of adoption can change quickly and unpredictably, shifting the character of whole labor market segments far more rapidly than people can learn new skills, if they can be retrained at all. We're buffeted about these fickle winds precisely because they are hard to anticipate and virtually impossible to measure. The real issue is not just the overall number of jobs available, but the skills required to perform them. There's a big difference between the skills required to sell people things in stores and, for example, those required to maintain an online retailing website. It's not that easy for some kindly grandmother to go from pointing out the location of the shoe department at Walmart to monitoring product reviews at Amazon. Looking forward, global warming is a bear, but we aren't bears. Most animals don't have the native intelligence to think their way out of habitat changes, but we do. The accelerating evolution of our labor ecosystem, propelled by continual technological advances, compels us to take a fresh look at the way we prepare our young children and even ourselves for productive and fruitful lives.